Good morning. I'd like to call the November 11, 2010 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Here.
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Bourne is not present. Mr. Stevens?
Here. And will all members of city staff who are planning to testify please come forward and be sworn?
You solemnly swear the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Just a note before we get started. Will all members of the audience please make sure that your phones are either off or on vibrate, please? Have all members of the code board had the opportunity to review the minutes for the September 9, 2010 regular meeting and the September 14, 2010 special meeting?
I move acceptance of the September 9th minutes.
Okay. We have a motion and second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Is that just for the September 9th?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll do the one for the other one.
Okay. Hearing none, all in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. I'd like to note that Mr. Bourne has arrived. Again, as of all members of the code board have the opportunity to review the September 14, 2010 special meeting minutes. I'll show and entertain a motion.
Mr. Harrington. I move acceptance of the September 14th minutes.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Smart. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Any member of the code board like to disclose any ex parte communications to any person who may have previously come before the code board or currently or have a case? Okay. We'll begin then with case number one, which is CEB 031051, Gahanan Incorporated. The property is located at 1400 North Atlantic Avenue. Here to impose a fine is the respondent.
They don't need to be here today.
Okay. Go ahead, speak.
I'd like to say that progress is continuing, and as you can see by that photo, one of the biggest issues we had was people walking from the motel down to the beach through a construction zone and a disaster zone. That's blocked. They are continuing to complete the project. That whole north side is done. I'm not sure how they're going to support that pool when they do the other side, but they are in progress, and the city is very happy with it.
Okay. Are you asking that we change it, Steve, from imposition of a fine to maybe giving them an extended period of time to complete the work?
Yes, please.
Compliance?
Yes. As soon as the turtle season was over, they began work on the south wall. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough rain. We caught it, and we won't see that thing fall as well.
Are we supposed to impose a fine today? I thought they had an extended period of time already. What was the compliance date?
November 3rd.
Okay.
Compliance date.
Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent, how long, Steve?
Realistically, I would say 2 months, and they should be completely done with the removal, replacement, and
maybe January 5th, 2011.
Yes, that would be fine.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order, allowing respondent until January 5th, 2011, coming to compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Thank you.
Case number two is CEB 091015 Michael Libby. The property address is 38 South Grandview Avenue. Mr. Respondent here. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. The property owner has pulled his something just happened to the computer. The property owner has went ahead and got his permits pulled, so he's putting a new roof on it. It's been finaled. Now he's just going through a couple of other permits, so we're well on our way.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Case number three is CEB 0910175, Earl A. Buss and Darlene F. Buss. Property location is 168 Pierce Avenue. We're here for a progress report.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
The only progress on the property is that the property owners have moved out and are waiting for the bank to reclaim the property. I have spoken with the company that's been hired to maintain the property, and I forward them all the information that we have. Outside of that, there's been no progress on the property.
Have they been receptive, John, to maybe correcting some of the violations, well, all of the violations?
The company that's been hired to maintain the property, they're just basically maintaining the grass and appearance standards. They have asked if they could go deeper into the violations. I told them that they need to get with either the owner or the bank. That one.
What was our compliance date on that one?
I don't recall the compliance date.
Okay. Thanks, John. Case number 4, CEB 1010182, is in compliance as of October 19, 2010. Case number 5. CEB 1010183, Harlan F. Gustafson Revocable Living Trust, dated 6/28/07. Property address is 913 North Grandview Avenue. Mr. Respondent here.
It is in compliance of 11-8.
Thanks, Steve. Now we'll move into our new cases, beginning with case number 6, CEB 1110186, Harlan F. Gustafson Revocable Living Trust, dated 6/28/07. And the property address on this one is 915 North Grandview Avenue. It's responded here.
It's the same owner, also in compliance, 11-8.
Thanks, Steve. You're making our job easy. Thus far.
Mr. Beninati mentioned that this is the most he's ever spent on one of his properties.
Case number 7 is CEB 1110187, Peter and Gail Keating. Property address is 506 North Atlantic Avenue. Respondent here?
No, sir. At this point, I'd like to address the following 3, number 7, 8, and 9. They're all the same property owner. I have a letter or email from Mr. Burden, who is going to be representing Mr. Keating. And he is requesting a continuance of the hearings for the determination of noncompliance. At this point, I am willing to do that because he has three very beat-up structures right at the entrance to the beach side. He's made good progress on one. I'm not going to put it in compliance because he wants a continuance, and they're all together. But at this point, he's been in contact with Amy, with Mr. Jackson, and I agree with it. It's fine. I know what he's up to, but he's going to need the time anyway.
So you're asking, Steve, that we not find him in noncompliance?
Correct.
What is he up to?
Pardon?
What is he up to?
He needs more time. I hit all three of those structures. All three of those structures are very, very disaster zones, pretty much, and he has made great progress on one of them. I've been over there with the general contractor, walked around, I believe it's 307 Grandview. No, I'm sorry.
207 Oak Ridge?
Yes, 207 Oak Ridge. A lot of work has been done, but it's only going to get worse as it goes around the corner. The other two structures are much more complicated, and they're going to be more time-consuming, and his general contractor is continuing to work on all three. Permits are in place for all three.
What's your recommendation, Steve?
Allow continuance of the decision till the next hearing. And his reasoning was a scheduling issue.
Mr. Byrd is going to represent him.
Yes.
Is Mr. Byrd available at the next meeting? We know if he's available.
He hasn't said that specifically.
Yeah. My conversation with Mr. Byrd, and I don't know necessarily that he's representing him. He was going to come on his behalf. I don't know if it was just an unavailability for Mr. Keating or actual representation. But nevertheless, he was expected that he would come. Then he realized that it was Veterans Day. He said he just had to talk with him.
Did the property get in this condition? Well, he owned it, or did he buy this in that condition?
Well, As far as I know, Mr. Keating has owned all three of them for a very long time. No, they were basically allowed to deteriorate to this point. That's why they became a major focus, because they are the first thing you see as you come over the Seabreeze Bridge and land in the beachside. I consecutively went with all three. Mr. Ginsburg's next. He's the one right on the corner. But these three were police issues. They were structural issues. The interesting thing is he has a rental occupational license.
With all that being said, Steve, why do you want to ask us to continue the case?
Because he's going to need the time.
Should there be any obstacle to at least finding it in noncompliance?
Can I speak to the matter? Sure. He asked if it was necessary for him to come forward, and obviously I told him that it was a decision for the board to make. It was understood and verified by the inspector that indeed he was making progress. Indeed, it was acknowledged that ultimately there will be this determination whether he's in compliance or non-compliance, and if he's not making the progress necessary, that he'll ultimately be sanctioned. Based on that, I didn't see any problem for myself for him being given the extra time, realizing that it's not really going to affect the determination of compliance or non-compliance. He felt that if there was an expectation of this, of a finding, that he would feel it's just appropriate to come in and address the board, since that's what he assured Mr. Keating he was going to do. But under the circumstances, with the inspector believing that it was something that would take multiple proceedings anyway, it just seemed to be something that would be an appropriate solution, just to agree with the continuum. So that's the election that the inspector made. Obviously, the ultimate decision is yours, and that was explained to him.
He was first notified back in July, correct?
Correct.
And I just don't see why we would, hold off finding him in noncompliance and then giving him a certain period to come into compliance.
Well, he will definitely still be in noncompliance next hearing.
Okay.
It's impossible. He cannot make that much unless he spends a few $100,000 within the next 30 days. There's no way he's going to get in compliance with the other two. The first one was the easiest one. And it's nearly done, which is really good. I understand that he's had these and allowed them to deteriorate to this point. But I also understand that the fact that we need to give them enough time, and we could do that with a determination of noncompliance and continue it out either way. It would be up to you. But because of the continuance request based on the inability to show, I didn't see any reason why not to allow it. This is probably going to go on another 4 to 6 months for the other two structures.
See, the reason that they're not here is that they have a scheduling conflict?
Correct.
I don't have a problem, one time, if the attorney come in here and ask for a scheduling problem.
Now, if he weren't producing, I would definitely not be cooperative with this at all. And, of course, he did not start to cooperate until the process became for the board to where he was going to have to show up. But either way, it is getting done, and I will follow it through, and it will get done. And he knows that. That's why he's had another attorney speaking for him.
What is the harm in finding him in non-compliance?
That's my question as well.
I guess if I can speak to that, I think, at least from my perspective, I'm not sure what the harm is in delaying the finding of non-compliance in a circumstance where it's certain that this is something that will go on beyond. It's not a short-term solution. So it's not that we're extending him a time that would not necessarily generally be extended in terms of a reasonable amount of time to come into compliance. So a finding now or a finding next month, I just personally didn't see how that would affect the case in any substantial way.
My thought, Tony or Mr. Jackson, is that as Mr. Bourne and Mr. Harrington said, if we find him in noncompliance today, and the inspector saying this process may take up to 6 months on at least one of the properties, we can allow him that time to bring the property into compliance. So again, I think our question collectively is, what difference really does it make if we find him in noncompliance today and allow him the time to bring the properties into compliance?
Only that I told him that my hope was that you wouldn't, but it's totally 100% up to you guys.
Is there any way that we would the board might work with them? I mean, if you let them...
Oh, absolutely. I let them believe the board might work with them, but at the same time, I made sure I expressed that it's ultimately the decision of the board. It's not my decision. It's not the inspector's decision. And no matter how much we agree with them, ultimately it's the board's decision.
Yeah. Now, if you decide to go ahead with the determination of noncompliance for all three, that would be totally up to you, and that will allow me to actually put the Oak Ridge property in compliance. So, either way. Because it is done, which is very impressive for this particular...
The Oak Ridge property is in compliance?
Yes, it is.
As of today?
Yesterday.
So we can take that one
well,
off?
Well, not if you're going to continue the cases. No.
Can you justify
I don't understand.
Right.
I have a lack of understanding about this particular circumstance.
It's either in compliance or not.
Well...
Yes or no?
Oak Ridge is. The other two are not on Halifax.
So why wouldn't we find that one, or why wouldn't you indicate that that is actually in compliance?
Because they asked for a continuance of determination.
What's the justification for it, though?
It's a request by an attorney.
I mean, based on your professional opinion, what merits do we have, or why wouldn't you want to say that property is in compliance? Even with the request from the respondent.
Can I try to assist the inspector as well? I think his point is that it's probably the same point, and it's not, from his perspective, what I'm hearing, and it seems to have at least some element of logic to me, is the thought that if he made the determination now that he's in compliance, or maybe a week from now, it's not really going to affect your determinations in the case, ultimately, because you're being asked not to make any determinations at this time, mm-hmm. and that the determinations that you'll be making in the future, and they'll have an opportunity to address all the matters with the violator.
I think with me, it's generally speaking, or historically speaking, the inspectors, if they found a property that was now considered to be in compliance, right. they would basically state that, and we would.
But that's a reporting issue, and it's something that's done because there's an expectation that you're actually reviewing and considering the matters in the case. And he was operating under the thought that you're not considering these matters today. Mm-hmm. But if you are considering these matters today, then he's addressing those matters.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand what's going on here, but I would say that probably in deference to Mr. Jackson's representations and the inspector's representations, as a courtesy, maybe we ought to just give them another 30 days before we find them in noncompliance.
I didn't mean to make this complicated.
You understand you need to let them know that somebody's being
there. Absolutely, yes.
Now, my question now is, you said 30, you allow them until the next hearing, which would be December 9th. Are you wanting to give them until December 9th or until the cutoff date of December 12th?
He's not extending anything. He's only asking for continuance.
Yes.
So it will be to the next meeting.
Yeah, the continuance.
Yes.
The case on Oak Ridge, why don't we just dispose of it if it's in compliance? Even though they've asked for an extension, there's nothing to be extended.
Unless
if it's in compliance.
He may ultimately decide to withdraw it. I mean, right at this stage, it's not.
You haven't even heard the case.
It's something for you guys.
But Steve said it's in compliance.
I understand your point with that.
Okay.
It's not a point of consideration. I understand your. This is something very unusual for you guys in terms of us standing here saying, hey, a case is in compliance, but we're not talking about it.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that's what was said. But in all truth and understanding, it's something that we, either you're considering the case, and then we can address all those issues, or you're not considering it, and he may take some other action between now and that point.
We're only trying to accommodate an attorney's request, really.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned because we have a situation where we haven't even heard the case yet. We haven't got the details. You've asked for continuance. I think as staff, you have the right to do that, to ask for continuance. It's your burden, not ours.
Right, I understand that.
If you don't want to go forward today, and you represent it to the other side and make him a continuance.
Right.
For the record purpose, I'm concerned about it.
And Mr. Cena, I honestly would not have even considered this if there hadn't been so much work done on the Oak Ridge address. That's the only reason I'm considering this. Why he's hesitating to get that non-compliance title or whatever it is to the structures, I have no idea, other than the fact that it's a timing issue for him to show up and represent Mr. Keating. That's all I can tell you.
Let me speak to something that's not necessarily directly related to what you're talking about there, Steve. Just for the record, I just want to notify board secretary that there's no first notification date for number 9. Is that the same as the cases for 7 and 8? What I'm saying, Tony, is there's no notification date for case number 9.
Oh, I'm sorry. They were all the same.
I believe it probably is. I just want to make sure we get that into the record.
They should have been all the same.
Yeah, so they're all the same. 7/23.
No, we'll take a look at them. I mean, we may be in a situation where we have to
recycle. Chair would entertain a motion based on the inspector's recommendation that cases 7, well, we have to read those into the record. Case number 7 is continued until our next hearing or meeting on December 9, 2010. Is there such a motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Same sign.
One no.
One no. Mr. Harrington? Case number 8 is CEB 11101888, Peter Harrington. The property is located at 510 North Halifax Avenue. Again, based on the testimony of the city attorney, assistant attorney, and the inspector, chair would entertain a motion allowing for continuing the case until our next meeting on December 9, 2010. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
No.
Any opposed? We have one opposition by Mr. Harrington. Case number 9, CEB 11101189, Peter Keating. Property is located at 207 Oak Ridge Boulevard. Again, based on testimony by the assistant city attorney and the inspector, chair would entertain a motion allowing or continuing the case until our next meeting of December 9, 2010. Are there any questions or comments? Was there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Bless you. I think the notification should be included in there. There's nothing on the record.
It's on the notice. I just checked. It was missing from the original CEB2.
Okay.
All
right.
So I'll make sure that's
it. Motion by Mr. Brown. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Boren. So are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. No.
And we have one opposing vote by Mr. Harrington. So those three cases have been continued until our next meeting of 12/9/2010.
Thank you. Yes. Either one.
Case number 10, CEB 11101190, is in compliance as of October 20th, 2010. Case number 11, CEB 11101191, is also in compliance as of October 20th, 2010. Case number 12, CEB 11101192, Anna and John Zahn. Property is located at 221 Blanche Place. Is the respondent here?
Morning.
Which one is this?
12.
They must have missed something.
Good morning.
My name is John Zahn, Z-A-H-N.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Tom, what can you tell us about it?
Basically, everything's in compliance except for the accessory structure and soffit damage that homeowners requested 60-day extension. He did apply for a permit, which expires on 2/28/11. And he had some injury to his foot, and he's requesting a 60-day extension.
Is that your opinion?
Yes.
Okay. What would you like to say to us, Mrs. Zahn?
Not much right now. Just I'm going to need some time because I cut 4 toes in my left feet, and it's very hard for me to go up and down to the roof. And I cannot do it right now. I'm going
to
need time off.
Do you believe, though, if we allow you 60 additional days to bring the property in compliance, will you be able to do that? How long do you think it might take?
I want to ask maybe for more time. 60 days, nothing right now. I start walking again like 4 weeks ago. I have proof with me. I don't think so you want to see it, but.
Do you think 60 days will not be enough?
I don't think so. I don't think so right now.
What we can do, Tom, is. Yeah, we can. Okay. And how much time for compliance?
I'll leave it up to you, I'll be honest with you. But
I would say 90 days, max.
Maybe until February?
Yeah. Well, if the permit expires February 28th. So.
Okay. Mr. Zahn, do you agree that some or all of the violations occurred or existed, at the time of notice?
Yes.
Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borns. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Chair would also entertain a motion allowing the respondent until February 2nd, 2011 to come into compliance and progress report time.
And 60?
60, 10.
And also requiring the respondent to provide a progress report for our January 13, 2011 meeting. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay. What we've done, Mrs. Zahn, we've allowed you until February 2nd to bring the property into compliance. And we've also required you to at least notify Mr. Klig as to your progress, and you have the opportunity, if you like, to come to our January 13th meeting, if you like, or if you can provide the information to Mr. Klig, that'll satisfy us as well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, case number 13, CEB 1110193, is in compliance as of October 20th, 2010. Case number 14, CEB 1110194, K. Randall Neeland, 133 Kingston Avenue. Respondent's coming forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I do.
Can you state your name,
please? K. Randall Neeland. That's first initial K.
Good morning, Mr. Neeland. First of all, I'd like to hear from our inspector, Mr. Klig, if you would.
How do you do?
It's basically the soffit roof damage. It's still not in compliance as of yesterday.
Okay.
No permit's been obtained.
What would you like to say to us, Mr. Neeland?
Well, first of all, this was handed down to you by the Department of Motels, Hotels, and Restaurants and Professional Regulation to investigate. What's her name, Lisa Lett?
Lisa.
Seems to think, I guess she doesn't really know what a mansard roof is. That has a mansard roof. 2 years ago, or not 2 years ago, 1 year and 4 months ago, I took the existing, you know, panels out of it to pressure clean them. I took them down to my storage lot a block down the street. Unfortunately, they had aluminum frames around them, and in that particular neighborhood, anything metal or aluminum disappears. There's the police report of everything that was stolen off my lot. Anything metal in my storage lot is gone. So since that time, they've been sitting open. On the first violation that she found me, I explained to her, I said, it's a mansard roof. They're plastic panels. All I need to do is have new ones made and slip, you know, and click them back in place. Then I came down here to your city hall over here to investigate, you know, can I have an open soffit? And the answer to that is yes. The only thing you're concerned about, it's a mansard. It's a dummy roof. You know, nothing can get in there. That roof fascia around there is closed off. The only thing open is the panels that I took out all the way around. And the only violation that would constitute a code violation, if there was water intrusion of any kind, there is not. As far as in compliance, it's probably the nicest building in the entire neighborhood. Have you personally inspected it? These two hands built that. I designed it. I built it. I dug the footers. I tied the steel. I built it in 4 months and 12 days. That's an all-time record for putting up a 12-unit building, mainly because I worked 14 to 16 hours a day to do it. And I was in competition with my boss, who was Dallas Steel of S&S Construction. And it was a world record.
Just for the record, will you tell Mr. Neeland exactly why you cited him? Because he's under the impression that there is no damage to the roof, I would say.
There was the actual soffit damage, which was an apparent standard issue. And I'll get with the building official today. And we'll
yeah. Just two little places when we pulled the panels out that got busted. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's in pretty nice shape.
And Mr. Neeland,
doesn't need to be pressure cleaned. I'll go along with that part of it.
Mr. Neeland, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice?
Well, I agree that the soffit is out of there, but we've taken care of that as well. The new panels are being made as we speak because the old ones, which I was going to pressure clean, were just plain gone.
With that response, if, are you saying yes?
Pardon?
With that response, are you saying yes that some or all of the violations?
Well, it'll be absolutely done and complete, and you can come by and look at it on Monday. Terry Groda is doing the job.
Again, Mr. Nealon, is that a yes?
Pardon?
Are you agreeing that some of that violation existed at the time that you were notified?
Well, I investigated, and I disagree that it was a violation. There's no, the only thing, it, not in compliance, I have two spots maybe this big. And what is that, 80, 160, about 310 feet.
Simple yes or no.
Little plaster spots this bad that, you know, needs the panel put back in place so you can butt the plaster up against the edge so until the panels are in.
I'm assuming
it's a waste of my time to fix it.
I hate to assume that you are saying yes, that there was some damage, a missing piece of the soffit or roof that was...
Not enough to constitute a code violation of any kind.
But do you agree to that?
He's saying he doesn't agree.
Yes.
It's not enough for code violation.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Okay. What has my determination?
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance.
So moved.
We have a motion by Ms. Himes. Second. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign?
No.
One opposition vote by Mr. Harrington. Mr. Neely, how long do you think it might take you to rectify or bring this particular matter into compliance?
I just told you. It'll be done on Monday.
Monday.
I have the paper in my hand.
Next cutoff?
Job starts, they're putting the panels in tomorrow, and they're not going to work Saturday or Sunday. They'll be back on Monday to finish up. And actually, it's like a one-day job. You take the panels and you click them in place.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Chair would entertain.
Oh, and by the way, I'd like to also add, as far as code enforcement on the street, there's a whole lot of other places. For 38 years, right here, myself and usually a helper, from U.S. 1 to Beach Street,
the
neighbors don't take care of that street.
We cut the grass and weed whack
the entire street.
Let us address this matter, and then I can tell you that you do have the right to call those things.
Okay, well...
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes to allow the respondent until December 12, 2010 to bring the property in compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the $1,000 per day. Is there a second?
Yes.
I believe it was December 2nd.
December 2nd, yes. Motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. What we've done, Mr. Newland, is we've allowed you until December 2nd to bring the property into compliance, December 2nd, 2010. If it is not brought into compliance at that time, we can consider imposing a fine up to $1,000 per day, but I don't
Understood.
Think that's going to be an issue because you said it's going to only take one.
Understood.
And as a citizen of the city of Daytona Beach, Mr. Newland, or a business owner, you do have the right to call in any potential violations of city code if you so desire, but I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you what
I have for 38 years. It's a waste of good time.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay. See you Monday. We'll be done. Okay. Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you. Case number 15 is CEB 1110195, Dennis Napier, 220 Lexington Drive. Is the respondent here? What can you tell us, Tom?
It's a non-compliance. He supposedly walked away from the property, so still occupied, but no contact.
Next cutoff, then?
Yeah, that's fine.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing respondent until December 2nd, 2010 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So yes. Moved. Second.
Is that Mr. Smart? Motion by Mr. Smart. The second was...
Either one. I'll be the second.
Okay. Mr. Bourne was the second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Tom, you only have one more.
Right.
Case number 16 is CEB 1110196, John and Francis Witherspoon, 315 Michigan Avenue. Is respondent here? What can you tell us, Tom?
It's non-compliant.
It's a building official complaint, renovations with no permits, no contact made.
Next cutoff?
Next cutoff.
Is there a stop work order on
that? Yes, sir.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until December 2nd, 2010 to come into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine for $1,000 per day.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Smart. Second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. What I'd like to do, if it's okay with the board, is to maybe allow those persons who are here, the respondents that are present, to come forward. Do you have any, Danny? Do you have any respondents that are here? Case 17?
Yes.
Okay. Case number 17 is CEB 1110197, Tommy Law, 432 Alamander Street.
Tommy Law. Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Law.
Good morning.
Let us hear from the inspector first, if you don't mind.
This is a case that I was transferred over from Rob to me to take over. And it's at 432 Alamander, which is a vacant lot that has a slab with rebar sticking out of it and plumbing. He cited for a safety reason. There was a permit applied back in October 31st, 2006, and it was approved in December and issued on December 21st, 2006, but then no final was done and expired in July 15th, 2007. Since then, we've gotten none but complaints about the safety issues. What needs to happen is talk to the building official, and we need to get the rebars capped off, mm-hmm. and also the fencing securing the area so that okay. in case anybody would complain around.
What would you like to tell us, Mr. Law?
Well, I have full plans on completing that project. Okay, I ran into a lot of personal financial issues and family issues. So, and then also the contractor that I had involved in it pretty much mismanaged my funds. Okay, but I have all intentions on completing it.
What's your time frame?
Well, I think about March of next year. Okay, I'll be ready to go get started with getting things going. The permit, it was an oversight by my wife. She misread things. Okay, but I'm prepared to get the permit reopened. So I can do that as soon as possible.
How long would it take you to actually bring the property into compliance as it exists now by doing what the inspector has requested?
With the gate and with the capping off of the...
Capping off the rebar and fencing around to secure the area, not to keep let anybody get in there.
So when you say capping off the rebar, what is that?
I'd get with Mark Criswell downstairs.
Okay. But not a problem. I guess a month or so to be able to do that. They were the gate.
Yeah, I've done before. If you find on the permit, you can at least do that for now.
Yeah, okay.
Won't he need a permit for the fence? For
No. We're talking about the orange construction fencing plastic that goes around it.
Okay.
Mr. Law, do you agree that some or all of, the values and existed at the time of notice on July 15, 2010?
I do.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borens. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Tommy Law.
That's just something we do, Mr. Law, housekeeping things.
24.
Danny, what are you recommending for a compliance date? First of all, we need to make sure he secures it and brings it, puts the caps on the rebar.
My next cutoff has those done, and for permits, I'd say also my next cutoff.
Okay. At least apply for it.
Will you be able to apply for the permit by next month?
Yes.
By December 2nd.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And securing the property and bringing it to what make it. Prevented it from being a safety violation issue.
With the gate and with the thing, so
right.
What do you think? Maybe about a month, maybe? About a month?
By December 2nd.
All right. That's, well, that's a couple of weeks.
As soon as possible, but that's a safety issue.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I'll make it.
I think what he's saying is the safety issue, the caps have to be immediate.
Okay.
But I think what he's asking now is, will a month be enough time for you to pull the permit?
Well, give me a little bit more time on the permit, but I can definitely do the capping off in the gate.
That's fine.
Right away.
Okay. Again, Donnie, what are you recommending for a compliance date? He says he probably won't be able to finish it until March.
No,
but he can bring it into compliance in terms of the fencing and the caps. Okay, when? January?
January.
Okay. Chair will entertain a motion allowing the respondent until December 2nd, 2010 to bring the property into compliance by constructing a fence or at least applying a fence around the parcel and capping the rebar. And also requiring the respondent to provide a progress report for our January 13, 2011 meeting and bringing the property into compliance by March, full compliance by March 2nd, 2011. Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Ms. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. What we've done, Mr. Law, is we're requiring that you go ahead and cap the rebar before December 2nd, put the fencing around it, provide a progress report to us for our January 13th, 2011 meeting. You can provide that to Mr. Garcia as well, and have the property in full compliance by March 2nd, 2011. If you run into any problems, please notify Mr. Garcia.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
By
552
Bellevue.
Is that number 18?
Number 18.
Okay. Case number 18 is 1110198, Robert Clark, 552 Bellevue Avenue.
Morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
Robert Clark.
Can you raise your right hand?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Morning, Mr. Clark.
Fine, how are you feeling?
Okay. I'd like to hear from our inspector first.
This is another property that I got from Rob Kish. I went by there yesterday, took some photos. I spoke to a female in the resident, and she didn't allow me to check to see if the junk vehicle that he cited her for was still in the rear. There is a tarp there on the fence. One minute. There's a fence there that's covered. I did slightly see it behind there, but I wasn't allowed to check, so here we are.
Okay. Mr. Clark, what would you like to
say? The vehicle he's speaking of, she had someone had come along and hit the car. So she had to get with the insurance company where they could come with a settlement. Now it's in the shop. You can get it fixed.
When did you take it in for repair?
I can bring you any kind of information you need.
When did you move the vehicle from your
It moved right after this. The first time they come by, we moved it about 2 weeks later. From the first time they came by the property.
Are you saying in July?
Yes. The car has been moved.
This case was.
There's a black Nissan. Sir, can I stop? Yeah. It was a black Nissan 1986 300 Nissan, and it's being prepared in the shop as we speak.
Okay.
There was a lot of damage there to it, so we had it out in front of the house, and they come by and seen it.
Would you agree, Mr. Clark, to allow the inspector to come by and maybe take a look to see if the vehicle is actually gone or provide?
Well, he was by there yesterday. It was right out front.
But he wasn't allowed to go back on the property to find out for sure if the property.
Oh, no, of course, I think that's my privacy, isn't it? I got a fence up and it got tarp up.
Well, we're trying to.
Did you get the license plate of the car when you seen it?
This was cited back in June 29th.
Well, what kind of car was it, sir?
I don't have that in this record. It just said there was a vehicle in the rear parked behind there.
Vehicle in what rear?
Behind the fence.
Danny, do you remember?
Behind the fence? How could you see it?
Hold on, Mr. Clark. Do you remember the color of the vehicle?
Well, like I said,
that's right. It's a case that was passed along to you. If I remember correctly or heard correctly, I think Mr. Clark referenced a black vehicle.
It says, on the violation, it just says every vehicle stored in the exterior must have a valid tag and be operable, comply, or remove the junk vehicle.
All of my vehicles are valid. Everything. I got insurance.
Hold on, Mr. Clark.
Insurance and tagged on everything.
I was just confirming that the vehicle was removed. It's
removed.
Okay, if I can take a look at it and see for myself, then I can.
Well, I'll tell you where you can go find it. I'm going to bring you the information where you can go to the shop and see it.
Well, since the violation is on your property, that's where you.
Well, I'll bring it back to the property.
What he's saying, Mr. Clark, is if you will allow him to go beyond the tarp to verify whether or not. Hold on. Mr. Clark, excuse me. What he's asking is, an inspector is asking if he may be allowed to go beyond the tarp to verify.
Mr. Gordon, I said no.
Mr. Clark, excuse me. At least hear what I have to say.
Okay.
He's asking if he will be allowed to go beyond the tarp to determine if there are any vehicles parked on your property that are not licensed and or insured. Would you be willing to allow that?
Is there a law say I have to do it?
You're in violation right now of city code. Yes.
Violation.
Yes.
But he don't know what car he's looking for.
He can go. He wants to find out if there are any vehicles on the property that may be in violation of city code.
What is your city code?
City code says. Do you want to tell him, Danny?
City code states that you cannot have any vehicles with expired tags, no tags, disabled, parked behind on any rear. Behind the house, any grass, unimproved surface.
Well, now I have a large backyard, and I can't have a.
You cannot have a vehicle back. You can have it only in the driveway, or you can have it in the road by the curb.
Supposing I have more than one vehicle.
Then you're in violation.
I'm in violation of having more than one vehicle.
You have it parked legally? No.
Well, I got it parked in my backyard. I got a couple in my backyard.
No,
that's legal.
Parked in the backyard. The only thing you can have back there is a boat, a trailer, and an RV, but it has to be properly tagged.
You got
to
be kidding. Well, I do have a couple of vehicles. Not the vehicle he's speaking of. I have a couple of vehicles in my backyard. Okay. I can remove them if that's what you like me to do.
Mr. Clark, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice on July 18, 2010?
Do I do what?
Do you agree that some or all of, well, the violation that's in and until the record existed at the time of notice? Do you agree that you have vehicles on your property that were non-licensed and maybe not insured at the time that Mr. Garcia or another inspector submitted to the record? Chair would entertain a motion for finding respondent in non-compliance.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown. I believe the second was Ms. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. How long do you think it would take you, Mr. Clark, to either insure and license the vehicles that may be in violation of city code on your property or remove them so that you may bring your property into compliance?
9 days, I could take care of everything.
That seems excessive to me to remove some vehicles.
Well, now, excuse me. May I say one thing? What about if I had vehicles that I collect antiques? I got antique vehicles. I can't find the parts.
But you can license and insure them. That would bring you into
yeah.
compliance.
What if I license and insure them? I can't keep them in my backyard.
No. They have to be on an improved surface.
I couldn't put a garage in the back and put them in that.
If you get a permit, do you have a garage in the back?
I don't know, but I could probably.
For a permit, go through zoning to get a garage from the back, and then you can put it in the garage.
How much time could I have for that?
Danny, what's your recommendation?
Well, for the permit, 60 days.
Okay. January 5th.
60 days. I couldn't do that in 60 days.
Let me. The
no, that's just applying for the permit.
Clock. That's.
Applying for the permit.
Yeah, that's just to apply for the permit.
Now, what we can do, Mr. Clark, I think it would take you less than 30 days to apply for insurance and or acquire licenses for the vehicles that you may have back there.
I got two vehicles. I just use them for cars. You know what I mean? So I don't.
But currently, if you keep those vehicles in your backyard as you're doing now, it's in violation of city code.
Yeah.
Okay.
Will you give me
within 30 days?
What about 60?
That seems excessive just to move vehicles.
Well, I got to get the money. Financially, not it'll be by that time before I have any excess money.
My opinion is that that's excessive, but whatever the board declares or desires, I'll go along with it.
Sir, I'm an extremely poor man. It's going to take me that time. I know about 60 days, I will have
about
the money.
About 60 days, if nothing, fine and post.
Okay. Fine and certain?
Fine and certain, yeah.
What's your recommendation for the sign? Can we do that?
Not an issue for proceeding. You have to at some point when you find that he's in non-compliance of your initial order.
Okay.
That's already been done.
He's in non-compliance of the site, pursuant to the citing of the inspector's violation. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be a finding by this board that he violated an order that this board has imposed.
Okay. Because it's a new case, we need to. Okay. Okay. Are you in agreement with 60 days, Danny?
I'm in the 60 days.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until January 5th, 2011 to come into compliance, be returned to this board for consideration of the fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, Mr. Clark.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And Mr. Clark, stay in touch with Mr. Garcia, too, to make sure that you understand.
I call Mr. Garcia once.
If you run into a Mr. Clark, if you run into a problem, just contact Mr. Garcia, and I'm pretty sure he'll be willing to work with you on that.
Yes, sir. Thank you all. You all have a nice day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have any more, Danny, that
number
were here?
Number 19 is in compliance.
Okay. Case number 19, CEB 1110199, is in compliance as of?
11-10.
November 10th, 2010.
808,
right?
Yeah.
Venetian? I got you in compliance.
What's that?
I got you in compliance, sir.
Oh, okay.
Have a nice day.
I'd like to thank everybody. All the day.
Number 20, 287 Dealing.
Case number 20, CEB 1110200, Walter Fullmore Jr. and Harriet Fullmore, 287 Dealey Street.
This one is that you, ma'am? Okay. She's gonna have an inspection tomorrow with Mark Criswell. She should be in compliance.
Next
it's just a smoke detector.
Okay.
Okay. You'll be okay.
Do we need to find her in non-compliance first?
It's a non-compliance as of now, but you can give her next cut off. And
does she need to come forward, Tony?
Yes, she expects to be heard.
Yeah. You can come forward. I believe it's Ms. Fullmore. Good morning.
Good morning. Harriet Fullmore. Yes, I do.
What would you like to say to us, Ms. Fullmore?
Well, we've put the smoke detectors up there in place now.
Okay.
And it's
okay, that's it. Do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time of notice on July 14, 2010?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance.
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Ms. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Mr. Chair, I just have one quick question, very similar to the cases we heard earlier. Would it prove worthwhile if we just delay this for a month, just to be consistent as a board?
someone asking for a comment?
We're looking at you.
I mean, the obvious response is that it's not going to take more than a month to comply.
Right. Yeah.
The inspection's tomorrow.
It's a different situation.
Okay. All righty.
And we're hearing from Mr. Garcia that it's going to be
Mark
put Rose into...
Mark, the building official is doing the inspection himself, and she just said that she had a smoke detector.
Right.
So okay. It's just a matter of testing it, that's it.
I think Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until December 2nd, 2010 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine, a one-time administrative fee.
Can you vote on that first one?
So moved.
Second.
Did we vote on non-compliance?
No, we were at questions.
Yeah, we voted on
no, we just had a motion. We were at questions.
Mr. Brown had a comment as I was asking for the vote. Okay. Are there any additional comments or questions from members of the board regarding non-compliance or compliance? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Now, Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until December 2nd, 2010 to bring the property into compliance will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. We're all set, Dan. Looks like everything else is yours except for the last case, and that's John's.
Number 21, 317 Georgetown. It's Will Fine.
Okay, case number 21 is CEB 1110201, Aaron Jenkins and Brenda Guyton, 317 Georgetown Boulevard. What can you tell us about it, Dan?
This one's back up for Will Fine. I was on the property three separate times. I got a complaint about the pool being dirty again.
Okay.
I went by 9/14, 2010, and I found that the pool was dirty. I left the courtesy card, having them to contact me. I had no contact. I was then on the property on October 22nd, 2010, which is when I did a posting for... In one of the pictures, you'll see the gate open, which I signed in for. When I came to do the posting, she then called me one day prior to that, and I got her to put the a lock on it. So that was closed out, but the pool was still dirty that same day.
Okay.
I then went on November 4th that I was doing a drive around with my sergeant. And Sergeant Miller and I observed the pool dirty on that day, so we got three separate days.
What's your recommendation for the Will Fine amount?
I don't know what we gave her last time, but I'm thinking a little more than what we gave her. Do you have that right there?
There's two fines, actually. One for $500, and the other one's also for $500. Fine twice. Both cases and the
well
fine case are in your.
Oh, I see. First lien and second lien.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Well, if it's that much, we can stick to the same, but it's up to you.
Was it 500? Is that what you're saying?
Two separate fines each for $500.
$500. Okay.
I believe one of the cases, there was a fine imposed, like a spot fine, but then you found them in non-compliance and gave them time to comply before starting a running fine,
correct.
Possibly, too, because there was a period of time that it was still in non-compliance.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's something you want to consider.
And I have Ms. Franklin here, the HOA president.
Yeah. We may not necessarily have to hear from... HOA president, if we impose the fine, that's unless the board would like to hear from the HOA president. Is it Ms. Franklin? Pat Franklin?
Yes.
Okay. The inspector has recommended fine of $500, Danny?
Correct.
As a will fine, does any member of the board like to impose a lower or higher fine or something different?
Is the property occupied?
Yes.
Yeah.
By a tenant or by the owner?
Sworn, give me a testimony.
Pardon?
She needs to be sworn.
Well, yeah.
Danny, can Danny answer all the questions? We don't have to go through that.
Yep.
Oh, gotcha.
This was just in case the resident owners came in and wanted to contract, go against them.
Is this the same case, Mr. Garcia, that there was a divorce or something going on?
There was at one time there was a stabbing incident, mother and daughter.
Chair would entertain a motion imposing a will fine of $500. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Thank you. This was the one, by the way, that the pool pump wasn't working. We got him to fix it. They fixed it. It is working now. At one time, they did say that they lost electricity, power. They didn't pay their bill, but it is working now. I went by twice, and both times it was running. I got him to put it on.
The board's intent also to consider the continuous violation or only the one time.
Would you? I think it was Ms. Himes' motion.
Yeah.
Would you like to consider additional fines?
Yeah. Continue. Because
what's your recommendation? Or what's your motion?
I think the way, if I'm understanding right, what was done before was a.
Just a one-time fine?
I believe there was a fine imposed for the repeat violation, and then there was an additional separate order of finding of non-compliance, allowing them time to comply, and then if not, an automatic fine, an automatic daily fine?
Running fine.
Began? I think you've seen that.
While he's searching, Amy, have the two previous fines been paid?
She applied for the amnesty program and...
She applied?
Yeah, she called you and you sent her an application.
She made an application. I don't have any record of seeing her applying, but...
But she is not going to be approved, though, right?
She
will have until the end of the amnesty period.
March 1st.
To apply.
This fine, however, will not be eligible because it's after September 31st.
Right.
So once that proceeds September 31st, are eligible, so...
Danny, if Mrs. Himes agrees to amend her motion, what is your recommendation in terms of a daily or running fine?
$25 or $50 a day running fine.
Okay. Would you like to amend your order, Mrs. Himes, to include that? Okay. Mrs. Himes is amending her order to include not only the fine for $500, a one-time will fine of $500, but also a daily fine of $25 per day until compliance is achieved. And who has the second? Who was the second?
I will second, but is this an implementation of the order in 2008?
That was when it was back in 2008 from the will fine. When we first got it.
Okay, I'm looking at the fines. Here's what we have. What we did in the past is that we cited them for the one-time violation, we cited them on continuous violations, just allowing them 30 days reasonable time to comply. They so found themselves so desired to go out there and find to comply. So what the order said was that if they could bring the property into compliance by August 5th, that being the next cutoff date, and they should. So four days will be automatically fined an amount that they gave another fixed amount of $500 on that next violation. For the running fine. So you gave him a fixed fine for the events that he saw in the past. You gave him a running fine with a violation on at the end, with a cutoff time that said, okay, we'll give you another 30 days to now go out and clean it, and if you don't, here's a new fine. And that's where it ended, and apparently they never did clean it. But so it's not necessarily inappropriate for a continuous fine since it appears that there's no real effort to clean it. But the alternative is to do what's done in the past, which is just give them a reasonable time now to try to comply. And if they do, they do, and if they don't, then they'll find those requests.
So, Tony, did you say we did impose a running fine previously?
You did, but it was what do you call it, screening.
in that it was just for the next month, you know, 30 days to come into compliance before a fine would go into place.
Right.
And
well,
that was happening.
Different. That was a different circumstance.
Yeah, it did come in compliance.
Yeah, it did.
Okay,
it
was all in compliance. Okay.
Right.
And so, okay.
Yeah, okay.
And so hopefully maybe a fine that's similar to that fine may motivate them once again to go out and stop a running fine from continuing to accrue. Well, at least I guess that's should be the perspective.
Yes. Okay. So we're clear. We're imposing a $500 fine today.
Correct.
And we'll fine.
Yes.
And
right.
Then effective when are we having the running fine?
What was the effective date, Ms. Hines?
Next cutoff.
Are we fining them in non-compliance and then imposing them?
Non-compliance, one-time fine,
$500.
Right. You're taking two separate distinct actions here.
Yes.
Here
yes.
Okay.
You're responding to the will fine condition and saying that we're going to fine you based upon what happened in the past,
right.
And you're giving them time to come into compliance by making the finding that they're currently in non-compliance and comply within the time period that you desire, next 30 days, or a fine will go into effect.
Which is Ms. Hines is indicated in the motion is December.
An automatic fine is what I'm suggesting, yes.
Automatically effective on...
Right. And the difference between this one and the previous case when we asked about that is that we're already in a fine status because of a prior non-compliance.
Okay.
And prior determination.
She made the motion and amended her motion. Who had the second?
The compliance date was confirmed.
December 2nd.
Okay.
Who was the second on that?
No one. I'll second.
Okay. Okay, Ms. Brown is second.
He said he would, but he had a question.
$25 per day.
$25 per day.
Effective December 2nd. Mr. Brown is the second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
And that's going to start the next cutoff day. What date is that?
December 2nd. Oh. Well, yeah, it'll be capped anyway, wouldn't it, automatically?
Right.
Or do we need to stay
at 10,000? Well, I'm sorry, I missed the whole order. I thought the order had a cutoff, a screening date.
No.
What do we call it? An automatic fine upon it.
At $25 per day. Which would automatically be capped anyway.
Okay, right, so correct. $25 fine, that's how you're going to be compliant.
Right. Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
We still have a quorum. Right? I'm just going to the restroom. Okay, case number 22 is CEB 1110202, Sky King Fireworks of Daytona Beach Incorporated, 541 West International Speedway Boulevard. Might note that Mrs. Himes is just leaving briefly.
That's in compliance as of yesterday. I got them to block it out. They painted the whole board.
Compliance as of 11:10. Okay. Inspectors noted that the property is brought into compliance on 11/10/2010. Case number 23 is CEB 1110203, South Trust Investments LLC, 704 Loomis Avenue.
So non-compliance, allowing the next cutoff to.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Richard Quint. I've got a permit here for this.
You saw me swear the testimony you're about to provide, the truth and whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
You got the permit?
No.
Was it Quint, Mr. Quint?
Quint, yes, sir.
What's your relationship to the property and or South Trust Investments LLC?
Pardon me, sir?
What is your relationship to the property?
Managing
and
member.
South Trust Investments, okay.
Yes, sir.
Let's hear from the inspector first.
This is another case that I inherited from Rob. And an inspection was made. The only thing he's needed is a lack of his GFI outlet that he's got the permit already for. He's already obtained it.
and that's all. He's got to get one more reinspection. He should be good to go. He'll be in compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. Is there anything you'd like to say, Mr. Quinn?
No, we'll have it done. But the GFI has already been done. We're just waiting for an inspection.
Do you agree that the violation existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
Now, Dan, it says, oh, he's just waiting for the inspection, did you
Correct.
Say? Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent noncompliance and allowing the respondent to come into compliance by December 2nd, 2010, or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, Mr. Quinn.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We've allowed you until December 2nd.
Pages. 641 Magnolia, anybody?
Case number 24 is CEB 1110204, William E. Partington, 641 Magnolia Avenue. Is the respondent here?
Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until December 2nd, 2010 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So moved. Second.
Motion of Mr. Brown. I'm not sure if Mr. Smart or Mr. Bourne had the second.
Let Mr. Smart have it.
Mr. Smart has the second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 25 is CEB 1110205, Anne Marie Lunchman, 417 Maple Street. Is the respondent here? Dan?
This is also non-compliance, next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing respondent until December 2nd, 2010 to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Smart. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 26 is CEB 1110206, Robert B. Irving, Sr., 712 Marion Street. Is the respondent here?
Okay, this one's also non-compliance. Next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance and allowing respondent until December 2nd, 2010 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Yes. Oh. Excuse me. Or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine, administrative fee of $250.
So moved.
Thanks, Amy.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Barnes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 27 is CEB 1110207, Martin Ebersbach, 605 Tanglewood Street.
Good morning, Dave Robinson from Mr. Ebersbach. He's approaching the podium. He'll need
morning,
to be sworn.
Mr. Robinson.
Richard, do you want to sit up here and be sworn at the same time?
Good morning.
Raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you have provided to the people will prove nothing but the truth? I do. State your name, please.
Richard Brown.
Martin Ebersbach.
Have a seat, Richard.
If you would allow us, Mr. Robinson, we'd like to hear from the inspector first.
John, if you want to just turn that mic to you.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
This case is here for the imposition of a will fine. Our last hearing, we had the will fine imposed on this property. That was just prior to the last Oktoberfest event. During the course of that event, there were numerous calls for service out to the property for various issues from loud music to just anything that's going to be out of the ordinary from a single-family home, which is what the issue was all about. The city would be asking for the maximum. So that's $5,000 per occurrence. So that's per day. So that's going to be from 10/14 through 10/17. That's 4 days. That's $20,000.
Is that correct, Mr. Jackson? Mr. Cino, is it per day or per occurrence?
Okay.
Per day.
Just for clarification for board members. What would you like to say, Mr. Robinson, in response?
Do you have any affidavits or recordings of these individuals who presented these complaints?
Yes, we do.
May I see those?
That would be your copy.
Thank you.
And this will be passed around.
Okay.
What relevance does the potty rental have?
Excuse me?
Let's look at these documents you've just handed me, and I haven't had an opportunity to previously review these documents, but looking at the first one, which is a potty rent, what relevance does that have to the violation?
We're going to leave it to the board to make the determination of whether or not the renting of porta potties at a single family home is consistent with the operation of a single-family home while there is working plumbing inside the residence.
Okay, and these potties, porta-potties, there were three of them at your inspection on the 14th, and at that time you found the home in compliance. Is that correct?
That is incorrect. The first inspection, the porta-potties were there. We asked to have them removed. When we came back on October 7th, they were gone.
Had you ever previously cited this location for violation of the code by having porta potties at the location?
No, there is no violation for actually having a porta potty on property.
What relevance does this photograph have, which I think depicts Main Street, Daytona Beach, and a man wearing an Outlaw's insignia on his jacket?
That is correct.
What relevance does that have to the issues we're here on today?
You would have to revisit the underlying issue of non-conforming use when we had the discussion about the clubhouse issue.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm the first one who's actually used that term today, clubhouse. Okay. But right now, we're discussing...
When were these photographs taken and by whom?
They should be on the photographs. And if not on the photographs that I gave you, they're definitely on the ones on the pictures.
Well, tell me what day this was taken.
That's probably on the 16th. As a matter of fact, I had to bet myself, so it's definitely on the 16th.
Okay. Motor vehicles are permitted to park on the driveway of the residence.
Mr. Chair,
they are.
Obviously, what we're having is an adversarial proceeding. And I'm not sure what Mr. Robinson's intent here. Maybe because he's offered them, he's brought Darren. But if I can just have the opportunity to allow from a direct.
I think I have the floor.
Well, you have the floor because you've taken the floor, but I'm asking
Mr. Stevens.
Board now. If I can have opportunity to have some direct questions to the inspector, and I'll be happy to ask all these questions concerning the photos and anything else that's
when you have the floor, presented. Could you please be sure that you're addressing to this board while you two are talking? I'm not seeing the pictures in your hands, and this is helping me no well.
With all due respect, I thought Mr. Stevens had invited me to speak.
I did.
Yeah, he has a right to finish with
this. You have a right to speak to this board, I assume, but you're talking to him.
Okay. Inspector, with regard to the parking of motor vehicles on the driveway of the residence, is that a violation of code?
It's not a violation of code to park in the driveway. As you can see in the pictures, the motorcycles are encroaching on the right-of-way.
Yet these pictures that are included in your package, what relevance are they if their motorcycles are parked on the driveway?
The only purpose for that picture in your right hand is to show you when I was doing my re-inspections.
Okay. I apologize for going over these, but they weren't previously provided to me. Now, CAD reports, is that what they call these, Officer Bears? Do the CAD reports indicate the name of the caller? Are they an anonymous phone call? Or can you tell by looking at them? Excuse me.
Yes, I do.
Can you state your name, please?
Stephen Joseph Barris.
Thank you.
Officer Barris, from looking at these CAD reports, can you determine whether they are anonymous calls or if there is a caller identification indicated?
On the bottom, there's contact information, and there is none for this particular call. But it did go through our communication center, so someone did call it in.
And could it...
Excuse me one second, Mr. Robinson. I'd like to ask either Mr. Jackson or Mr. Sino, is that relevant as to whether or not the caller identified himself or herself?
I think people are allowed to make anonymous calls. It goes to the credibility of the case, but certainly relevant.
Go ahead, Mr. Robinson. Thank you.
Officer Beers, while you're here, have you had an opportunity to review all these CAD reports?
I briefly went through. Okay.
And on any of the CAD reports, are the callers identified?
No, sir.
And the police officers in your department are provided or have their own cell phones, do they not?
We don't provide cell phones, but for the most part, most officers do, yes, sir.
And any one of them could have called in and made a self-serving call in order to create these CAD reports, could they not?
Any resident in Volusia County could have called. I can't answer that.
I surrender the floor.
Mr. Jackson.
The city would like to call Deputy Chief Bears, and with the presumption that y'all would like a full adversarial hearing on this so that you can make a determination of the violation.
Yes.
I apologize, Ms. Harrington. It's just the awkwardness of the way these mics are that I'll kind of block you a little bit. Deputy Chief Bears, now we've already established a number of things in the original proceeding, but what I'd like to for you to testify to us on this date, first of all, we've been given a set of pictures and calls and various things that had occurred on the property at or occurred related to the property at 605 Tanglewood Street. Do you know the time period that we were referencing?
Well, actually, right after the initial noncompliance code board hearing, and I don't have the exact date, that Thursday is when we started with the random inspections. More or less, we were building up towards Biketoberfest, which is naturally a large biking event throughout the city and the county. Starting on that Saturday night, we received a noise complaint coming from the location. At that time, there was a band in the back. My supervisors responded, talked to a person by the name of Johnny Trail, and at that time, I specifically asked the supervisor to find out if the owner of the residence was there. At that time, the owner was not in, was not on property. Once again, it was a club event. There were members of the Outlaws there. There were members from other clubs there at that property. And mind you, this is 3 or 4 days past the code hearing. I received phone calls again from Hillbilly, and I know Mr. Ebersbach says he has nothing to say about that residence, but I continuously got phone calls from him. Every time I showed up, we had our command post set up in a lot to the east of the location. And at that time, one of my officers had a flat tire. Mr. Ebersbach wasn't there, but Hillbilly shows up. Hey, are you towing our motorcycles? No, we're changing a flat tire on a police car. Okay, I just want to make sure. Throughout that weekend, and I was out there a great deal of time throughout the entire city at the command post. Never once did I see Mr. Ebersbach. As a matter of fact, I even asked, is he here? No one saw him. I was questioned about the clubhouse or the house by other members, in particular Mr. Gunther back there. You know, they're very concerned about this residence that Mr. Ebersbach owns, but not once did Mr. Ebersbach come about. It was always the leaders of that organization, of the Outlaws. Not once was the owner. I made random checks throughout that weekend. At every time I made that check, whether it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, whether it was 3 o'clock in the morning, there were motorcycles out there the entire weekend. There were probationary outlaws stationed at those motorcycles watching those bikes. So everything around that whole Biketoberfest event was the same activity that we have seen throughout the years as a clubhouse, not a residence.
Okay, now, we established at the last meeting your training experience and background in reviewing biker activity and investigating biker activity and you just described various things that suggested to you and I'll make reference to the board as well as to the testimony of Mr. Ebersbach in the previous hearing as well, but that indicated activity that was more consistent with your training and experience of clubhouse activity.
That's correct.
Did you see anything that led you to see or believe that there was some club hierarchy that was there at the activity?
Yes.
During that activity? And what did you see?
Starting out with the probationary outlaws watching the bikes.
Okay, now you say they were probationary outlaws. What make you say they were probationary outlaws?
On the back of their vest or jacket, they have the word probationary, probate. On the back, it's designated.
Okay, and your training experience and your involvement investigating those types of organizations, that defines a level of where they are in the organization?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and what else, if anything?
At that level of the organization, you do what's told. If you're to watch bikes, You watch bikes. If a member wants you to wash your motorcycle, he washes your motorcycle. They do various things for the club. As a matter of fact, they will not even allow a probationary outlaw to speak to law enforcement, at least. But that's what that's the lowest, if you will, rank on that chart. Then goes all the way up to the hierarchy.
Okay, and during this time period, which we're here for today, did you have those wearing those jackets speak to you, or
no?
They were consistent with everything that you ever studied, learned, and discovered through your experience to be on the lower level of organizational position.
That's correct.
Now, did you have people who presented themselves as part of the higher level of the organization?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and what made you believe that they were of the higher level of the organization?
They speak for the club. Now, they don't have any kind of document that says, I am the leader of this club, I am the boss of this club, I am the president, but they speak on behalf of the club. And it's very obvious and it's very evident that when they walk and they come up to law enforcement, me in particular, and speak, no one else speaks around them. They're asking questions on behalf of the organization, not on behalf of Mr. Ebersbach, not on behalf of any other owner. Matter of fact, like I said, he was non-existent the entire time. Now, whether he was sitting inside or sleeping, I don't know, but I did not see him once during that entire event.
Okay, and during those activities where inquiries were made, were they inquiries made expressing themselves as levels of the organization?
Yes.
Okay, saying that our bikes, our organization,
our party, our everything, referring to the club.
Okay, what type of activities, were you able to see the nature of activities that were going on at the residence?
For the most part, there were a lot of people just kind of milling around the front and the back, and that's about it.
Okay, live bands?
There was a live band on that Saturday after the first hearing.
Okay, do you know if there were food or...
I know they had a grill set up and they had a smoker set up in the backyard.
Do you know if there were residents who stay overs?
Like I said, the bikes were there almost on a 24-hour basis. From the mid-morning all the way to 3 o'clock in the morning, there were probably no less than 50 bikes there.
Do you know if there were residents, related to the residents?
Yes, they were all parked either on the front or the side, which is the south side, or in the driveway.
Okay, so they were not all on the property itself?
That's correct.
And I think it was previously testified in the right-of-way and other areas, overflow.
That's correct. North Street was parked from Tanglewood all the way, probably midway down the block to the east.
What's the nature of the complaints that you received?
Same thing, parking, limited access. The first one was a noise complaint. And you can, by having our command post parked in the back, you could observe all these observations. As a matter of fact, there were a few motorcycles, and I don't think there's a picture up there, but as they were coming down, coming from the east, I was actually standing there, and they stopped, and they asked, can we park? And I said, as long as you don't block the street.
Were you able to see whether they had chair setups, table setups, anything like that?
There were picnic tables, porta potties, chairs, grills, just about anything consistent with a large gathering.
Okay. At the previous proceeding, we had Mr. Ebersbach present and expressed himself as the owner. And I'm sorry I don't have the proper name, but we refer to as Pandy, who was present as well. Did you ever have any contact with Pandy? And at that time, if I could, sorry to interrupt, I guess then he identified or he was expressed to be the caretaker of the property.
Yes, and at that time, though, I did not see Panhead. The last time I saw Panhead was when we did the reinspection. Myself, John, Officer Syracusa, Mr. Gunther, and Mr. Ebersbach were all there. The only two people that talked were Gunther and Ebersbach, and that was it.
Would it be fair to say that everyone or the people you saw, for the majority of those you saw, had the appearance at least of being transient?
Yes. Oh, there were a lot of different rockers and a lot of different, when I say rockers, a lot of different areas where the club comes from. West Penn, Pennsylvania. There were a couple from overseas.
Do you have any knowledge as to whether there was any type of permits issued for that type of activity?
No, sir.
For the outside sound?
No, sir.
For the party activity that was going on?
No, sir.
Or just large gathering in general?
No, nothing.
Or parking?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Is a permit required for a band outside in a residential neighborhood?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. But they had no permit?
Nothing.
Now,
okay, just a moment. Yeah, let me say, I don't have any other questions at this moment.
Mr. Professor, that's an MLS question.
Well,
I have a question for him. I would just like to clear one thing. This is a clubhouse, the 605 Tanglewood.
I don't believe, Ms. Himes, you were here for the initial code board hearing.
Right.
It's not zoned for any type of clubhouse or activity. It's strictly residential. The use that we are saying is being used and it's utilized for that particular residence is a clubhouse. It is not a single family residence. It's a clubhouse.
Officer Beers, did you actually observe a band with amplifiers and instruments?
Yes, sir. I drove by there later on that evening.
And what day would that have been?
That was the Saturday after the initial code board hearing.
And did you go by the location on the 18th, which would have been Monday?
The Monday after Biketoberfest, yes, sir.
And was the circumstance abated at that time?
Yes, there was, I think, maybe one or two motorcycles in the driveway, and that's it.
And the porta-potties were gone?
No, I believe the porta-potties were still there.
Okay, what time did you go by, do you recall?
It was early in the morning. Okay. I can't give you an exact time.
If I may, I'd like to approach the bench, Officer Beers, and those pictures are virtually the same. Can you identify the motorcyclists across the street from 605 Tanglewood? Need to borrow my glasses?
I might have to. I could see Sergeant Heller there, and for the most part, that's our motorcycle squad right there.
Okay, and they were, I presume, legally parked, were they not?
That's correct.
And so had the people that were visiting 605 Tanglewood parked in that fashion, that would have been legally parked, right?
And if I may, the issue is not the parking. The issue is the activity that goes along with the occupants and the riders of that motorcycle onto the property. So we didn't cite anyone for parking violations. But
okay. Excuse me. I must be confused. I'm looking at item number 27 on the agenda, and it says repeat violation, illegal parking, obstruction of city right-of-way.
And like I said, if they were parked in that fashion, they were not, that's properly parked.
And I'd like to clarify, just so it's not misrepresented, it says multiple calls for service for illegal parking.
Right.
It doesn't say that it's illegal parking. Just for clarification, for the record.
And to the best of your knowledge, does this represent all of the calls for illegal parking and obstruction in the street?
Based on our CAD, yes.
Okay. So that would have been three calls.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
From anonymous people over the course of 3 days, correct?
Yes, sir.
I may have a moment. I think you testified that no uniform traffic citations were issued for parking or obstruction of the right-of-way, right?
Without going through our entire list, I can't be sure, but to the best of my knowledge, no.
You described the mobile command post as having been parked
on the east side of 605 Tanglewood. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it was parked there for the entire 3 or 4 days?
That's correct.
Does this photograph depict the mobile command post in the background? That picture was taken on Bike Week of this year, March of this year, but the vehicle we're describing is depicted in that photograph.
It's not relevant to this event if it's from March of this year.
I understand, but I'm just trying to identify the vehicle that's parked directly behind Mr. Ebersbach's house.
I'll sustain Mr. Jackson's objection.
Okay. Can you describe this mobile command post that you parked directly behind Mr. Ebersbach's house for 3 days?
Yes, it was on a lot that's owned by a gentleman in Port Orange. We obtained permission to park our mobile command post there. It's a 30-foot self-sufficient vehicle, radio communications, everything we need for any type of a critical incident or any type of special event.
And were the floodlights pointed directly at the backyard of Mr. Ebersbach's home for 3 consecutive nights?
I don't know about the back. I know the front floodlights, which would have been facing to the east, were not on.
Nothing further.
Does any member of the board have any questions of any party relative to this particular case?
Well, I wonder if we could possibly circumvent a lot of this by asking what we usually ask in the end, and that is to Mr. Ebersbach, did these violations exist?
Would you like to come forward, Mr. Ebersbach?
I was not.
Mr. Ebersbach,
if you could come up, please.
I did have a party or a barbecue for 2 days at my house over by Oktoberfest. It was Friday and a Saturday, and I had an open house for my brothers in the state of Florida, so I did have that party.
You did have a live band?
No, I didn't have a live band. No.
Not during?
No.
It wasn't during Biketoberfest that there was a band. It was that Saturday night after our initial code board hearing.
I don't even know anything about a live band, to be honest with you. All I know is that during Biketoberfest, I had an open house for 2 days for my brothers at my house of barbecue. And that was on a Friday, and that was on a Saturday. Now, I did not know that we were in any code violation at all during those 2 days. I was there all day Friday, and I was there all day Saturday. I left Sunday, okay? I didn't get there on Thursday. But I was at that house and in that house or in that backyard on Friday and Saturday. Now, the parking itself, all the vehicles, when I say vehicles, I'm talking about cars, were not parked on that street anyway. We parked them down at a radiator lot. We're down on Beach Street. The only vehicles that I'm aware of that were parked at the house is the motorcycles, or, you know, in that vicinity. They were parked away from the corner to allow access for emergency vehicles, which, you know, you can see in some of our pictures. They were off the highway. I thought they were parked legally. I had no idea that they were parked illegally at all. No one approached me and said, you're parked illegally, that you need to change that, nor have I seen a document saying that the motorcycles are parked illegally.
If I may interrupt just for a second, Mr. Ebersbach, I think it was Chief Deputy Beer's testimony that to the best of his knowledge, there weren't any citations issued for illegal parking.
So I think he was asking if I was. I'm not aware of any violations. But
okay.
Can I see the list of what they say is violations, Dave?
Mr. Ebersbach, is it possible, without your knowledge, that a live band was performing at this property?
No, I was there. Okay, let me go back. During Bike Week, Biketoberfest, I can say we had no live band at that property. I couldn't tell
the date in question. What's the date in question that a live band was on the property?
again, and I don't think...
That was the Saturday after the initial code board hearing where they were found in noncompliance.
Okay.
So 3 days after that, the code board hearing is when the live band was there.
I'm not aware of that.
I have a question.
I think that would have been October 9th that the live band would have been there, if at all. Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, it was there.
Well,
I believe you. I believe you was there. I didn't know.
Deputy Beers, I have a question I think maybe only you can answer this. With the pictures...
Sorry.
With the pictures that I saw, and you're saying that this is our home, and I'm saying... maybe to the attorney, I don't understand why we're hearing this, because I know I was sort of in on something that there were 10 bikes and a party in a neighborhood, and they all got tickets. It was loud music, they were wrote up, and they had to go before a court of law. So you're saying about 25 or 50? I mean, I'm just saying, how was this allowed or what? Because I do know that even in our neighborhoods, we cannot have bikes or cars. Even if you do a party, you have to go almost get a permit if you got over, what, 8 cars or 8 bikes?
Ma'am, the issue at hand is not the fact that the motorcycles are parked there. The issue at hand is the people that show up at the residence at this time are going to a clubhouse, not a residence. If there were 3 or 4 motorcycles in a driveway, that would be completely different, like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If they violated a 8-foot right-of-way rule, then that would be a traffic infraction and a parking citation would be issued. The issue here is not the way and the method that the motorcycles are being parked. The issue at hand is with the entire group of Outlaw Motorcycle Club members, other members throughout the state of Florida, they are going to a clubhouse in Daytona. It's not a residence.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if they were there this many, how could that be allowed without any kind of citation or anything in a neighborhood, period?
Yeah, I'd be happy to answer. I guess the real point here is that we're here on a zoning violation, so we had not made any whether they were legally parked or illegally parked, that could be part of the issue, but the ultimate issue is really an issue of was it a non-conforming use of the overall property. So that's what it all relates to.
Tony, would you summarize? We sat here for 4.5 hours, came to a conclusion. What was the conclusion that this board came to when we said noncompliance? What did that mean? When we said that property is in noncompliance, and if they continue to do the things that determine the noncompliance, they would be in violation. Can we just start from there?
I mean, at least from my perspective, it simply meant that they were found to be nonconforming use as a residential dwelling unit, that it was single-family residence. They weren't. It didn't. It wasn't a single-family residence, and that was what it was zoned for, a single-family residence. So the conclusion was that, and my conclusion is that the order was that that the single-family residence be utilized as a single-family residence should be utilized, and not. In any other manner. I think principally, and this is argument, of course, but I think principally that what we were showing was that it was being used more for club activity, more like a clubhouse, and not like a residential home or a single-family home that will be zoned in a residential area. And so from that perspective, it was non-conforming in its use.
So we're being asked to determine that these current things that are listed here constitute a
violation of whether or not it's not, again, being used as a single-family residence, or is it non-conforming?
If I may, The home was in compliance on October 14th. It was inspected and found to be in compliance on October 14th. So apparently by virtue of him having guests at his home for two consecutive days, that constituted the non-compliance, is what I think is being alleged here. And at the last hearing, after you established a will find, I asked you specifically, how many guests can he have at his house? And you said, we can't answer that.
We said, we directed you to staff. I remember that.
Yes, you said, call Mr. Stenson for a reinspection. But we had just...
No, sir. Your specific questions were, how do we know what we can do at our home? The board's direction was for you to get with Mr. Stenson for parties and everything else. That was your specific question. We have the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay. That is accurate. And I because I wanted to know how many people he could have, and you did say go to speak to staff.
Yes, sir.
But apparently, I don't know what's changed since then and now, because apparently now you can answer the question, how many people he can have at his house.
No one here on this board has.
Okay.
It's being presented to us.
Mm-hmm.
By the evidence, there was a live band.
No, that occurred, and Officer Bears has testified, that occurred a couple weeks before the 17th, 18th.
We're not dealing with dates. We're dealing with violations.
That occurred prior to the violations cited. Officer Bears testified that that live band was at the house before the house was brought into compliance on the 14th. The live band was like early in October, on October 9th or 10th. And on the 14th, we were brought into compliance. And during the dates cited here, after the will find was established, there was no band. And I think that's Officer Bears' testimony.
Mr. Stenson or Deputy Chief Bears, what violations occurred after our will find order?
Like we said, after the will find order, we told them they could not operate that residence as a clubhouse.
Correct.
That Saturday, after the will find order, there was a large gathering with a band at the residence. Now, Mr. Ebersbach is telling me that he had no idea that there was a band. Here again, we have a residence in the city of Daytona Beach with the owner of that residence allowing his, as he calls, brothers, outlaws, to have parties at the clubhouse. There's no way around it. It is not a residence. If Mr. Ebersbach says he had no knowledge, that's what he said during the initial will find hearing. He had no knowledge of what's going on at his residence. Yet every time that we show up and we ask, I get Hillbilly, I get Johnny Two Beers, I get Broda, Robert George Gunther. Everybody speaking on behalf of this residence. It's a clubhouse. As a matter of fact, I even asked Mr. Gunther where the clubhouse was. Oh, we have none in the city of Daytona Beach. I offered our community room. If you want to have your meetings there, we'll have them at the police station. He declined that opportunity.
Hold on, sir. You haven't been sworn in.
But I mean, you know, it is not a residence.
Okay. So for the record, the date that this live band was there, so that Mr. Ebersbach could know.
What was the date of the
event? Write that down.
Amy, what was the date of the last
The initial hearing for this was September 9th. It was continued until September 14th. The non-compliance date was September 14th. The will find order was entered October 14th of that meeting.
So the 14th was the first day, the 14th was the fifth. The same day the event started?
No.
Mr. Ebersbach.
Yes.
I think you just testified just a few moments ago that you were actually at your residence.
Yes. I was at my residence both Friday and Saturday, yes.
Can you tell me how many people actually caused you? Well, how were you there 24 hours a day?
No. I was not there.
How long were you actually there on the respective days?
Bless you.
I mean, I was there all day Saturday, all day Friday.
When you say all day, would you give me a time frame?
I got there Friday probably around 10 in the morning.
And what time did you leave?
Probably around 11:30 that evening. Went out and about town. Then I went back to Orlando.
Okay.
That evening. I came back Saturday morning, right after daybreak.
What time?
Saturday morning. I'm just guessing here, but I would have to say probably by 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Early in the morning. I stayed all day on Saturday. Probably left Saturday evening. Again, it's a guess. I didn't look at my watch. But it was had to be at least 9 or 10.
P.M.?
P.M. in the afternoon. And I went back to Orlando. Sunday morning was supposed to be clean up from the 2 days event. So, again, I did not know we were in any code violation. And that's another question I have. I live in Orlando, and I purchased a house here in Daytona for an eventual residence, and I haven't moved. And I've allowed someone else to look over my properties for me.
You testified to that fact.
Yeah,
I wish that,
you know, Mr. Stinson and I had talked one time, and he asked, do you want me to send, you know, the information to where you live in Orlando? And I said, yes, I do. So I am 100% aware of where we are, because I will tell the city of Daytona, I don't want to be in violation of any code. I want to live here. I want to get along with everybody in this city.
I have a couple more questions for you.
But I am an outlaw, and that's one problem.
I just want to clear one thing. I did hear him say, or did I not, that that was after the two-day event?
Yes.
Event.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I have a couple of questions for you, Mr. Eberspach. First of all, did you authorize the event at your...
The two-day event, yes, I sure did. I'm the one that said, let's have the party. Yes, sir, I did.
Designate to supervise the party or run the party, I think the terms you've used.
I was there to resolve any issues.
In your absence.
When I was absent, that would be him, my panhead, taking care of them.
And his name is...
Richard. In my absence, Richard should take care of that.
Okay.
But I was there, like I said, all day, both days.
Another question. Upon your arrival on Saturday, how many people did you find sleeping or slumbering in the home that you own?
I think there was a couple people on the couch and one in the bunk room.
So are you saying a total?
I'm saying probably a couple people stayed there, three people stayed there. I didn't go in specifically to look at that.
Are they related to you?
Huh?
Are they related to you?
No.
How many motorcycles were parked in front of the home or around the
probably
home?
Probably when I got there that early in the morning, I'm guessing 25, 30 motorcycles were left there.
Besides
a lot of people,
the person that oversees the home for you.
Huh?
Besides the person that oversees the home for you in your absence.
Okay.
Are you saying on record that there were maybe three other people that were unrelated to you that were sleeping or slumbering in the home?
Possibly, yes. Yes. I mean, I don't know if they got there at 5 in the morning. They'd been out in town all night or what. I don't know if they were there all night because I got there in the morning.
So
I went back to
Orlando. How many people were actually in the home at the time of your arrival on Saturday morning, specifically Saturday morning?
I didn't count, but they were probably eating breakfast when I got there. There was 20, 25, maybe, eating breakfast when I got there. I'm guessing now. It's hard to hold me to this because these are just rough guesses.
We can say that there's approximately 25 people that were at the house upon your arrival on Saturday morning. Is that correct?
That's what I'm guessing.
At least three of which were slumbering or sleeping in the home.
On the couch.
Correct. Is that correct?
I would say that's correct, yes.
Okay. On Sunday upon your arrival?
I did not show up on Sunday. Saturday night was the end of my...
I thought you testified previously.
No, Friday. I was there Friday and Saturday. Saturday, my barbecue was over with. I had the barbecue for Friday and Saturday, and that was it. Sunday was over with. I did not go over Sunday.
Again, for the record, what time did you arrive on Friday?
Went on Friday?
Yes.
It was early. It was way before noon. I couldn't get 9, 10 o'clock.
Okay, at 9 or 10 o'clock, did you find other people besides the caretaker of the home?
Yes, there were. No. I really didn't go in the house. I went out in the backyard. I really didn't pay any attention.
Okay, so it.
But I do know Saturday. But I do know that Saturday morning there were.
At any point on Friday, did you go inside the home?
Huh?
At any point on Friday, did you actually go inside the home?
Yes, I was in the house Friday and Saturday.
At any time when you went through the home or in the home, did you find anyone sleeping in the home besides?
No, I wasn't looking. No, I'm not saying there wasn't. I wasn't looking. I did not notice.
Did you go
into? I noticed there were people sitting along the couch and in the chair.
Did you go into any bedroom at all?
No.
How many bedrooms are there in the home?
There are three bedrooms.
Okay, and you never entered any of those bedrooms, or at least opened the doors to see if there was anyone in those
rooms? No, I didn't. Didn't have any reason to go back there.
Okay.
I mean, my time was outside, mostly.
You stated maybe one person was in the bunk room. Can you define what a bunk room is in your house?
Huh?
What is a bunk room in your house?
What is a bunk room? It's a bunk room that's got bunk beds.
How many are there? How many sets of bunk beds?
I think there's four.
Why do you have four sets of bunk beds in a bunk?
Because I got them free.
I think there were pictures in the last hearing.
Yeah, I got them free.
Two bunk beds consisting of four single beds.
Has there ever been a time since you have been cited for a violation of city code, Mr. Eversbach, that more than two people that were unrelated to you maybe occupied that bunk room and slept?
Not that I'm aware of, no. I haven't been cited. This is the first time that I'm aware of I've been cited for any codes when I got the certified letter to go pick it up.
Don't go far, but let me ask the caretaker a couple of questions.
Okay.
If you... You can have a seat just for a moment, okay. But I'll be calling you back in a minute.
Okay.
Mr. Graham, correct?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Graham, at any time since Mr. Eversbach has been notified of a violation of city code, has there ever been more than two people who have occupied the bunk room that were not related to Mr. Eversbach?
As in?
Sleeping. In the bunk room or any other place in the house?
Every now and then there's like maybe one if somebody's passing through.
Well, my question is, has there ever been more than two people?
Not to my knowledge.
Anywhere in the household besides yourself that are unrelated to Mr. Eversbach?
Two other than me?
Yes.
Like I said, on occasion.
How many would you estimate on occasion have done that and on a single night?
Maybe two.
Just
maybe.
Two?
I mean, if somebody's passing through town and just wants to spend the night.
What about this event that's in question? Was there anyone sleeping in the household then that's unrelated to Mr. Eversbach?
Like I said, there might have been two.
Did you occupy the space, Mr. Green?
Yeah, I did. I stayed there.
Okay, so you would know then, and you're the caretaker, I would assume.
That's what I'm saying. There's the three bedrooms, so, I mean, there's a couple of guys stayed, but that was about it. Everybody else had hotel rooms.
Okay, so of the 25 people that may have arrived on motorcycles that Mr. Eversbach testified to, are you saying everybody left except for maybe two people?
Right. Because we had a vehicle to take people back and forth to the hotel.
On what date would you say those two people occupied the space and slept in the home?
I would say Friday and Saturday. Sunday was clean up
there. Two consecutive nights then?
Excuse me?
Are you saying they slept in the house for at least two consecutive nights?
Yes.
Where did they sleep?
In the
bunk room or in the living
room?
Or
the back bedroom.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if we can go back to the previous question I had directed to Deputy Chief Beers, if he can clarify that question for me.
I'm sorry. I did have one question to Mr. Graham.
Sure. Mr. Graham, would you come back up, please?
I mean, in relation to what you were asking.
Sure.
Mr. Graham, do you still reside at the house?
Yes.
Okay. And you're under oath, right?
Yes.
And you were residing at the house back then as the caretaker on the dates that were in question during the Biktoberfest weekend?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Do you have any questions, Mr. Robinson or Mr. Graham?
Mr. Graham, did you or anyone you know attempt to contact Officer... A code enforcement officer Stinson after the will find to try to find out what you had to do for this event?
Well, when we got the porta potties, then I was told by one, it wasn't Mr. Stenson, it was another code enforcement, that we needed a permit for the porta johns. So I called Mr. Stenson, left a message. I never got a call back. Then I was told when I called over here that you didn't need a permit for that.
Okay. Nothing further.
Okay. Mr. Eberspach.
If I may, the initial code board hearing was postponed due to Mr. Jackson not being here.
Right.
The next meeting was on the 14th. That Saturday, which was the 18th, is when the band was at the residence.
18th of September?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Eberspach, and I read your note, your testimony. You said that. Let me find it. When I ask you personally, why did you hire Mr. Robinson? And you have the right to do that. So, you said that you hired Mr. Robinson because you are unfamiliar with the laws and city codes, and Mr. Robinson has been around the Outlaws for a long time, and you trusted him. You also stated that Mr. Eberspach stated that you hired an attorney because you want to make sure that you are doing everything the correct way.
Right.
That's your testimony as of September 14, 2010. By having entertainment and allowing persons to sleep in the home that were not related to you, do you think you have done the right thing?
I didn't think I did anything wrong, no. Even in Orlando, I have guests coming over, and I put them up some evening.
Well, Orlando's code may be different from Daytona Beach's code.
No, I did not. No, I broke any code.
Okay.
And, you know, I do want to make it very clear to everyone, whatever I need to do.
Let me ask you also.
To bring it in code.
Hold on just a moment. Let me ask you an additional question.
Yes.
Did you maybe ask Mr. Robinson, your counsel, if you were doing the right thing after we held our special meeting regarding this matter on September 14th?
I talked to Dave about it, and we thought we were okay, you know, after we passed the other thing. I thought we were in good shape. I had no idea we were not in good shape. I am totally naive about this. I've been a construction worker my whole life. I don't know I'm breaking the rules. I don't want to break the rules.
What date?
If I understood what the rules were, I wouldn't break the rules, I guess. I got to know what the playing field is so I don't make mistakes.
Mr. Eberspach, on or after September 14th, 2010, and prior to the date in question, I believe it was September 17th?
18th.
Chief of 18th?
Yeah.
Mr. Robinson, well, would you say that you did speak to Mr. Robinson?
No, we talked outside one day, and I think I asked Dave,
hold
you
on,
know,
let me
is
let me
everything
finish my question
going fine
so you
today?
Completely understand, and then Mr. Robinson can respond as well. Would you ask... Are you saying or testifying that you did actually ask Mr. Robinson if you were in compliance with city code?
No. I didn't. I asked him what a couple things meant, because when we did leave, I was confused about the one answer when Dave asked what constitutes the party part of it. And I did not think that there was a code violation in having a barbecue or a party in the backyard. Now, I realize this goes much further now, which I was naive to in the beginning, and now it's going into an outlaw situation, not really just the house and the party situation. So, I mean, I'm just aware of that. And Chief Beers, I was there. I wish I would have known you were there, and I don't understand why somebody said I wasn't there.
I specifically asked when I made my my rounds, and
I believe you. I believe you. I mean, all I heard from Hillbilly was how you told him you didn't have to listen to him, and
I told him that.
That's fine. He wasn't real happy about that, but the thing about it was, I think I heard that 1,000 times, you know, on Saturday, you know, which is fine. That's cool because I said you didn't.
Well, then, Mr. Eberspach,
you know, it was
Robinson.
My property.
Would you testify that Mr. Eversbach actually had a conversation with you? I don't want to misstate what you said. Did you say you did not ask Mr. Robinson if you would?
I didn't ask a specific. No, I asked a general statement of trying to understand what that meant, because when I walked out of here last time, I was very confused to the situation of the party. Can I have a party at my house?
Mr. Robinson, would you state or confirm whether or not we made it clear that Mr. Eversbach was not allowed to have more than two unrelated persons in his home at one time to reside there or sleep there? Did we not discuss that during the special hearing? I didn't say you implied that. I'm asking, was that made clear to Mr. Eversbach after our special meeting, that that is what city code states?
I'm not so sure Mr. Robinson can answer that question.
Yeah, I mean, it's an attorney-client
privilege. I don't think he can answer the question.
I'll tell you what I did tell him. I said, call Mr. Stinson and get a reinspection.
And I did.
Bring it into compliance and keep it in compliance. As far as describing the nuances of the code, we didn't.
Well, I only asked because he said he had a conversation with me and he hired you to be clear on if he's doing the right thing.
I'm not saying he's giving me bad information. I'm not trying to say that.
Does any other member of the board have any questions on Mr. Eversbach and the other party?
Just a question.
Yes.
It's not necessarily relevant to this today, but when you purchased that house, Mr. Robinson, I believe, signed off on that paperwork.
He was there when I, yeah.
Did you ever mention what you were going to do with the property, and did you ever get some indication that maybe you might have a problem with code in the residential neighborhood?
I didn't. Never even crossed my mind when I sat there and bought that house.
Or you never asked him or told him what you're going to use the house for?
No, I was buying a house. I was buying a house for me, for an investment, and for me to live in after I retired.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I never asked him that. Again, I'm very naive to that situation.
Well, the attorney isn't naive to it.
Well, I'm very naive to it. So I made a lot of mistakes here, obviously.
Okay. Just
any other questions from members of the board?
Final arguments here?
Yeah, we'll take final statements at this time from both sides.
Mr. Jackson waves. I'll wave.
No, I have some stuff to say.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I know y'all want this here. I think there's need for clarification. The purpose that you're here today is to consider, as Mr. Harrington had asked, it's to consider whether or not they're in violation of a non-conforming use, which is what they were cited for violating. That they're in a residential area, in a single-family home. It's zoned single-family residential. Are they using it in a manner that would be consistent with single-family residential use? The definition of single-family in our code is it's a building occupied and maintained exclusively as a residence for a single family. The activities that we've seen and described in the prior proceeding, as well as what's been described today, one, are activities that have been described not only by our code as to other types of uses and functions, but they've been described even by the respondent, Mr. Eversbach. You may remember from the last proceeding, you had asked him, what is a clubhouse then? What are clubhouse activities? And he told you. He said it's where his brother or his brothers gather. And what do they do this time? It's where his brothers gather. And do you have a lot of motorcycles here? Sure we do. Yep, a lot of them. And do you feed them? And they have been able to stop and recreate and rest and so forth. Yes, that's what they do. But he kept saying, but we're not a clubhouse because we don't have the sign and we don't say clubhouse. But he described those activities. And those are the activities that he had then, and those are the activities that he had that we're being cited for now. Okay, what's the problem with that? Well, this is a residential, single-family residential district. There will be a continuous repeated collision, as he asked, he didn't understand, and just so understanding for Mr. Ebersbach as well, coming into compliance this time, there's going to be a continuous collision with residential single-family use and the nature of these activities. These are activities that, they do happen in Daytona Beach. They happen in commercial areas. They happen along Beach Street. They happen along US 1. But they don't, and they're not approved for happening in single-family neighborhoods. The argument about the motorcycles isn't that they were parked illegal. It's just that it was a density level that strongly and overly impacts a residential area. The party overly impacts and strongly impacts a residential area. If you're going to have a large gathering, that requires special permitting. It requires special use. If we look in the definitions, we'll see things that these activities are far more akin to. Clearly, they're far more akin to club or large use. A facility operated by an association of persons for a common cause and governed by an elected body comprised of its members, primarily designed for entertainment, pleasure of the members, offering facilities and service for entertainment, food, drink for consumption of individual members and invited guests, so that when you have members traveling, coming through, they can sit, they can hang out, or even local, and go and wash bikes or do whatever activities. It's very much akin to that activity, far more than it's akin to any type of residential use. When you look at the purpose for the zoning, I took a look at that, and as it related to the zoning district for single family, it said to reduce impacts upon the lower intensity land uses through appropriate project orientation, setbacks to taller structures, recreation facilities, compatible architecture treatment, buffering, and proper location orientation of signs and lighting. These standards are also intended to protect residential land uses by requiring that they provide screening buffering where they are abut arterial streets. It's to keep the residents separated from the large single-use type activities, the party activities, the club activities that we've been describing. Our code has a conditional use for clubs or country clubs, at least or golf courses, and this is even more akin to that, where it says clubs and golf courses with customary accessory uses may be permitted as a special use in any district. The location and character of the facility shall be compatible with surrounding use in regard to the hours of operation, types and amount of traffic expected to generate, land values, site and building size, location. So the whole objective of zoning is to buffer and protect single family and single family residents from the type of activity we described, the activity of high traffic influxation, large crowds and gatherings. And that's obviously shown by the necessity for parta porties and overnight stays with in the manner which were described. This is far more akin even to hotel and motel purposes, purposes for providing accommodation for traveling and vacationing public and providing meeting, convention, special occasion space for business and general public. This is the type of stuff for, and I understand, Ms. Ebersbach says, well, they're not general public, they're all my brothers. But they're all my brothers coming from all different locations. I don't have to necessarily know them personally, as long as they are a member of my group or organization. And with those being the clear understanding, clearly these are events. I mean, our code addresses the whole aspect of outdoor activity, outside activities and uses. It is within the public interest and contributes to the general welfare to project an attractive community image. Our code says that all activities, storage, and display shall be conducted entirely within enclosed structure in all districts of the city when they're talking about outside activities and uses that are generally prohibited. These are uses, these are activities that are not consistent. They're not the type of uses that would be consistent with residential single-family use. It's non-conforming, and it has to cease. And the question keeps being asked, well, what can we do? Well, I believe that there's been enough. We have to be able to believe that people have lived in single-family residential units in their lifetime, and that you'll know it when you see it. You know when you're acting like a resident in a residential district, and when you're over impeding that district with activities that far exceed the natural normal activities of a residence. That's all I have.
Mr. Ebersbach was. Yeah. Mr. Ebersbach was found to have been in compliance on October 14th after the property was inspected. That was a Thursday. He had a barbecue on Friday and Saturday, and on Sunday, the 17th, he cleaned up. Used that for a cleanup day. The calls we have are anonymous phone calls from. We can't verify who made the calls, whether they were generated by police officers themselves or who they were from. There is noise at that location from Main Street, Caribbean Jacks, and the surrounding area, transient noise. He had tried to lean some of these pieces of fence up against his metal fence that was pre-existing to attenuate some of the sound or any disturbance that might have come, but he needed a permit and didn't have time to get it. He's now going to leave the fence down and potentially try to find another location, liquidate the house. If the board were to impose a high fine against Mr. Ebersbach at this time, it would make resale of the property almost impossible. He's got little equity in it, very little equity in it, and it may fall back into the blighted condition it was prior to his purchase of the property. There's some photographs that you've seen of SUVs, and Mr. Ebersbach testified that there were people that were coming and going from their motels and kept their bikes there rather than parking them in the motel parking lot. And I think there is a photograph of an SUV that was coming to pick people up and drop people off at the residence. There was no violation cited for the ban that occurred back in, I think, September or 3 weeks prior to his being in compliance. So I don't think that's even relevant. The reasons cited for which he was given notice to be here today were multiple calls for service for illegal parking. The vehicles were parked off the road. They were in the grass between the sidewalk and the street, which was the same way the police parked their motorcycles. There was no indication that there was an obstruction of the city right-of-way. The noise factor was the only thing, and we have anonymous calls. He's not here today for a violation of the code relevant to more than two people occupying the house. I think the code board should address the issues for which he was cited, to wit, excessive vehicles, live bands. Of course, there were no live bands. The vehicles, some of which were parked in the driveway, the other vehicles were parked properly. Multiple calls for service, those were three anonymous calls. Noise and obstruction of the city right-of-way, I don't see where any of that's been proven. I would ask the court to find him in compliance and not assess a fine, or if a fine were assessed, to make it reasonable, contingent on him trying to get rid of the house and move to another location. Thank you.
Any member of the board to have a motion?
Let me just make it easy on you. Basically, you entered an order on the 14th day of October with an order of will fine, and it says if there is a ready repeat violation, you've got to make a determination if there is or if not. And we place a subsequent meeting agenda, which it has been today, for consideration of imposition of fine, which is up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Mr. Cena, would it be improper to get correction or clarification on the dates of the violations again?
No. Well, I think the day of the violation, I think they said was
3 days.
3 days, 16, 17.
I think Mr. Arbersbach said he had a party on Friday. I don't remember exactly what day we, what day of the week the meeting actually occurred.
The dates we were talking about were the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th.
Of October?
We convened a meeting on September 14th. On Friday, September 17th, Mr. Arbersbach has testified that he did have a party on the 18th, which would have been the Saturday. Was it 3 days, Mr. Arbersbach, or two? So that would have been Friday and Saturday, the 17th and 18th of September 2010. Amy?
I think we're looking into October.
Right.
We're talking about October.
Oh, October, I'm sorry.
Oktoberfest.
Yes. Yes, Oktoberfest, I'm sorry.
Which was the October 14th through the 17th.
Correct.
Yes.
And the testimony is that on the 15th and the 16th there was a party.
14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th. The entire duration of the event.
Right. The city's stance is the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th was a party. Mr. Ebersbach testified that on the 15th and 16th, he knew of the party.
Okay.
Yeah. Please, if you have some. No, that's okay, Mr. Ebersbach. That's okay.
I have testimony. Questions?
Meyer.
I believe the testimony was that the live band was present on the 18th, is that correct?
Of September.
Chief acknowledged just said that the live band was the month prior, was subsequent to the finding of non-compliance, but prior to the imposition of the will fine. September 9th.
Okay. So that brings me to the question of what are we considering today? What is the violation that we are considering today?
The 5,000
continuous. My band was not applicable.
Make sure you get on the record, please.
For the record, Mr. Brown, according to the agenda, and I believe Mr. Robinson read it in the record as well, that we're here for non-conforming use, repeat violation, which would have included excessive vehicles, live bands, noise complaints, multiple calls for service for illegal parking, noise and obstruction of city right-of-way. And if I remember correctly, Mr. Robinson, you've stated also that I think you said that the matter does not relate to excessive vehicles or not.
We were noticed of the ones that are set forth in the notice of violation, which he received via certified mail, and they are restated in the agenda here today.
The citing is the citing of non-conforming use.
Yes, okay.
Consisting of those things.
Yes.
With enumeration of the things listed.
So the violations are noted in the agenda, and the city stating it's non-conforming use, which would include those violations or potential violations on the that are in the agenda. And just for clarification, I think I addressed this in another case as well. The will fine can be imposed either $500 per five up to $5,000 per occurrence or $5,000 per day. Is that correct?
We have said $5,000 per occurrence.
Per occurrence.
Okay.
Your motion was
to impose the $5,000.
So your motion was fine violation to impose a one-time fine of $5,000.
And I believe the inspector requested up to $20,000, was it?
Mm-hmm. In the beginning,
just
correct.
A clarification.
I was saying per occurrence, which means all of those days at 5,000 per day.
Okay. One
time 5,000. But the motion on the floor is for a one-time $5,000 fine.
Motion by Mrs. Himes. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion by any member of the board?
I'm just wondering, I appreciate the suggestion that you may want to solve this problem by selling the property, because all I see is this going on over and over and over and over, and then let's nitpick that we didn't do this, we didn't do that. But what if your intention is to solve the problem, then, you know, I think that's a good solution. In relation to the fine, yeah, I think, as far as I'm concerned, that there's no doubt that your attorney, at any rate, knew what the result of this hearing was. And if he didn't tell you, that's a problem between you and him. But you did violate it, and that's how way I'm going to vote for it.
From a procedural standpoint, could the fine be suspended for a period of time, giving him time to sell the property?
Yeah, it's to the fine yet.
Okay.
If you ask that, I guess there is a fine. You can ask that.
Okay. As noted, the inspector has asked for a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence, which times 4 days would have actually equated to $20,000. Mrs. Himes has the motion, though, and my comment is simply for comment.
I will amend it.
You'll amend?
I will amend to the inspector.
To $20,000?
To $20,000.
And that was not a suggestion by me that Mrs. Himes should change her motion. I'm just stating for the record what the inspector actually requested.
There is a second amendment.
We have an amended motion by Mrs. Himes to impose a fine of $20,000. Was there a motion? A second?
I second.
And a second by Mrs. Smart. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
I would ask the board to suspend imposition of the fine for a sufficient period of time to allow Mr. Ebersbach to list the property and close on it. Typically, a Florida Real Estate Commission contract provides for a 90-day closing period to give the buyer time to obtain financing and do a title search and survey and so forth. So if you could please give us 120 days or suspend the imposition of the fine for 120 days, after which time it would be imposed. And, give them time to try to sell the property.
What would be your reasoning for that, beyond the fact that it would not show that there is a lien on the property, Mr. Robinson?
Yes, sir. For title purpose. I mean, if we had a prospective buyer, I think he's holding a $150,000 or $145,000 note on the property,
something like that,
which I think is double what its tax assessed value is. And if it were up to $165,000, obviously the property wouldn't be saleable at that price. And, the property was blighted before. I think Officer Stenson testified to that in the first hearing. Mr. Ebersbach came in and cleaned up the property, hauled away the trash, painted the house, and greatly improved the appearance of it after purchasing it. And all that was done within a week. So let's solve the problem by having him find another place to dwell.
Well, actually, Mr. Robbins, if I remember correctly, Mr. Ebersbach has repeatedly stated that he doesn't actually dwell at the property.
Well, I used that as a Elvis Presley phrase, down at the end of Lonely Street.
Couldn't a lien review take care of the what you request, the fine suspension? I think if you had a sale going, I think the board would entertain a lien review to
yes, Mr.
modify.
Barnes, that I would agree with you fully. That would have been my suggestion as well. It is not uncommon for when a property is being sold or in the middle of transaction and there's knowledge that there's a lien out there for the title company or whomever, the landowner, to come in and seek some redress and resolve that so that they can
facilitate their sale, and obviously that would be a good thing to do. And I clearly respect and appreciate the desire and of an expression of a desire for them to relocate if that's what they want to do. I think the city is just as satisfied if they could live as residents. I mean, it's okay, but if the relocation is adequate and appropriate, we do have a concern that 120 days probably puts us in the middle of bank week, and so we don't know if we really solved anything before our next major event, which seems to be the triggering point of us having to be back here again.
Would that require a commission approval if we were to negotiate a lower settlement of the imposition of fine? It could be done by the board.
And they've always taken.
The question is whether you want to go ahead and accept Mr. Thompson's request, or you want to leave it alone and wait for the league to do.
Well,
that would be done here.
I have a question, Mr. Robinson. Why do you believe that a fine of $20,000 would severely encumber your client when he has stated on the record that his monthly income is $6,000?
Oh, he just let the property go into foreclosure. Let the original owner that took such deplorable condition of it take the property back.
I can say, Mr. Stevens, if that's a threat, I think it's one that's okay as long as the property is maintained. If it goes into foreclosure, that's okay. But that's not the desire, and that's not our intent to push anyone into foreclosure.
No, it's not our desire either. We want to find someplace else. And Mr. Ebersbach, not we.
I just asked a question. I don't know if you actually answered my question.
How would it impact the ability for him to sell it?
I think why do you believe he would be severely encumbered by a $20,000 lien when he clearly testified that not only does he have a $6,000 monthly income, but his wife is well off, I think you said?
She makes pretty good money.
Well, makes pretty good money. Something to that effect. He's testified by that more than once, in fact, several times in a special meeting on September 14th, 2010.
I think most of his money is, I don't know.
Just, a lot of my money is wrapped up in that.
Yeah, I can't answer that.
I believe we do have a motion. Mrs. Himes says. Well, that passed.
It's already passed.
Mr. Robinson is requesting that we suspend payment or imposition of the fine for a period
until the end of January.
90 days.
And if I could just,
I would like to hear from
one response. I mean, in addition to the things I've said already. Yes. I would also say that it's highly irregular. I don't know of any time that y'all have ever suspended a fine on the front end. Well, that's not true. I kind of think of one time for some, but it was far more convoluted than anything we're talking about now. Absolutely. And I just, Mr. Lucino, just wanted to make sure I'm pointing out to the board so that they understand the position and desires of the city. And our desires is that it's imposed and consistent with what we would do is it's worked consistently for many years that someone would come in and seek some type of redress in the middle of a transaction. And I think a point's well made by you, Mr. Chair, that the expression has been that this very well may not be all that impactful based upon their financial ability to respond and resolve.
Well, this board has always looked favorably on lien review situations, and I don't think that this would be any exception. And I think that could easily be handled if there's a sale pending. Come before the board for a lien review. I, for one, as a member of the board, would certainly look positively on that in that respect.
Does any member want to, based on Mr. Robinson's request, put forward a motion?
Am I allowed to ask a question?
Sure.
Since you said sure, I want to ask a question of you.
Sure.
I want to ask a question of you.
Anytime.
That if he can't sell it before bike week next year, and we haven't collected the $20,000, can we fine him again?
No, it'd be up to the board, up to the staff if they want to bring another case premise.
Right. If they bring it forward again,
we decide at that time whether it's a violation or not.
I just don't want to end up in a situation where we're just dragging this out year after year after year. I think it we owe the neighbors some closure.
There's a provision in the law that if he doesn't live, if he's, I guess it's not homestead property, so a provision after 90 days, they can go and seek to foreclose the property on it.
Okay.
There was no motion. I did ask for one, and there was no motion, Mr. Robinson. Regarding your request, so I guess the this matter's closed.
Closed. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you got my card, you could send me a copy. Of the
Can you give this to the city?
You just take certified letters. I need you to take your letter and sign it.
Is there any member of the board who would like to bring forward any miscellaneous business?
Oh, see ya. I'll say board first. I'm sorry. How about staff?
Or staff?
Yeah. We do have a new supervisor, so wanted to introduce Sergeant Miller. It's the new Sergeant Bailey. I worked with him before. And
you look far more attractive than Sergeant Bailey.
I don't know if we said last time or not that, well, that Inspector Kish was retiring, so he's retired. So that's why they were announcing the covering of his cases. And I did notice that we do have a position, you know, anyone who would want to be an inspector. I've noticed that they have that posted up until the 17th, so.
No. Well, we could just share the responsibility as a board. You
know? Right, you'd have to resign.
I got you.
I would like to just wish every person who has served our country a very happy Veterans Day today. All those persons. I meant to do that initially and I forgot, so I apologize to myself and all other persons who served in the armed services.
Here, here.
And wish us all a very happy Veterans Day and a safe country, I guess.
And we're going to see you again before Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving as well.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for, and happy Thanksgiving as well.
Adjourn.
Adjourn.